Guys, can you hear me? Radio. Guys, can you hear me? If you can hear me, say so. Refresh. Tell others to. Okay. Well, if you can hear me, this is what they do to us. I mean, I set up a really, really good firewall. And before that was up and running, they managed to tamper with some software that I need for logging in to my show. And it's just what they do. So, there's a... I was going to talk about for the first half hour, the voodoo that the government does. I mean, they always talk about, oh no, they wouldn't do that, and then they arrest people for going to the Behavian Grove if they can sneak in there, and when you get in there, you notice, oh, there's all these politicians there, you know, but they call that theater. If anyone wants to call in, fine. The last part that I was going to do was going to be on DA-14. I mean, it's funny how we got all these asteroids, or meteorites, if you want to call them that, falling down. You know, we had one over that almost hit Russia, depending on how you classify that. I would say it hit Russia. Had another one in Cuba, reports of one in Florida, California, and it was like, these are, how often should these things be happening of any size, and yet, you know, one after the other, all of a sudden? I did some math on it, preliminary math, and I said that I didn't think it was going to make escape velocity and that it was going to become, get entangled with a spiraling orbit. Okay. Well, Wayne, I see you there in chat. Okay. And then, well, that was my estimate. Then I have a source that said it almost did that or may in fact have done so. That source is a thread that I'm on. Is it too early to discuss Nibiru? It's a topics thread. I'll link it into the chat room in a second. So, Wayne, you want to call in? Okay. There it is. It's within the last five or so pages from the last page there. So he's quoted it as saying that he's seen it go down to about 0.1 kilometers a second, or about the speed that your car travels at. Yep. Okay. Yeah, I guess that's the information I have on it. I was hoping to have a guest. We'll see, Wayne, we'll see if that works out. One of the things that also happened is I got my... the reason I reinstalled my firewall is because I got locked out of the password. The password locked out on me. Okay. Wayne, you're on the air. That's Wayne. Wayne, is this you? Wayne, is that you? Give me a second here. I'm going to converse with Wayne for a second.
Hi, Dido. Hi, everybody. Woohoo! Do you hear me? Well, I hear me, but I don't hear you, Diego. What happened to you? Where did you go? Yeah, I'm alone again. Da-da-da. Diego, unmute your mic. For some reason, I can't hear you. So, you're talking about Nibiru. Nibiru, is it coming down soon? I haven't seen it yet, although I heard about the invisible planet down Antarctica.
Yeah,
hi,
you're
on. Okay.
Okay.
I hear you now.
Okay. Yep, you're on.
Yeah, I hear you too.
Okay, yeah, that was, you know, I don't know if part of this might have been me getting nervous, but like I ended up putting Blog Talk instead of blogtalkradio.com. And then when I went to Blog Talk Radio, got logged in, the software, the Skype, click the call was damaged on me. So I'm sure they did that, you know. But I'll have to take 5 minutes of that for myself. I don't know who attempted to screw up my firewall there, but that's almost fixed. A family member came down and disrupted me while I was reinstalling it. And I forgot the password, so I started over. And that was like 20 minutes down the tubes. Oh, well. But,
oh, my God. Well, you know, it happens. I'm still having problems with all that stuff myself. So.
You know, I figured I'd go ahead and reinstall that so they don't do anything silly with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but do you have that guest on yet?
No, I don't know. You might be on tonight if the board works. If I can get callers in, we'll see. Don't know, but I won't know till after the first half an hour because I don't, you know.
Right. Yeah, I skipped my intro because I wanted to save the time.
Oh, sorry, I was late. I forgot. Did
you know,
get
you
on
could
the
have
show,
gotten
okay?
on for me. Yeah, I mean that would have been helpful if you would have logged in for me. You know,
ooh,
and then I would have
sorry.
Skyped in, and that would have been that.
You had dead air then for a while?
Yeah, I had all kinds of little issues. I mean.
Well, you know, we have to learn, though. That's what I had to go through, the same thing. You have to learn. Sometimes you just have to do it yourself. That's what they tell me. So, anyway, what was your what were you talking about tonight? Nibiru or something?
Yeah, there was that's a thread that I'm on. Is it too early to discuss Nibiru? And a source on that thread confirmed some math that I did on DA-14. I said that DA-14 was not going to make an escape velocity and that it was doomed to enter a failing orbit and eventually hit. What ended up happening, though, according to my source, who knows, that's his name on that thread, he said that he saw it going at a speed of 0.1 kilometers a second. Now, I'm thinking about, wow, that almost did not make escape velocity. I mean, it was traveling at a speed equal to that of your car, basically.
Well, yeah, I don't know. They've been seeing something out there, but I don't know what it is.
So,
I don't know. Some people call it wormwood. People call it other things.
No matter what you want to call it.
Yeah.
That was definitely close.
Planet X. I like to call it Planet X.
Okay, that's a name we recognize as well. You know, on that thread, I mean, we've taken the approach, well, if you don't believe in the BOU Planet X, can you explain the anomalies that we're seeing? Not many people can. I mean, just about anyone with half a brain will have to acknowledge something's out of place.
Yeah, somebody sent me a short clip of the moon, this is like moon video, and when the guys landed on the moon the first time, and all the stuff that they were trying to cover up in the film by placing some kind of see-through photograph over the film to try to change the landscape of the moon. It was very strange.
I mean, I've seen some really, have you seen Richard C. Hoagland? He's got a video out. I hope it's still out. But there's all kinds of little things, like little markings that should be in principle on the, I just dropped something. Who cares? Little markings that should be on the camera lens were actually in the background. Okay?
Oh, yeah. There was some weird stuff flying around the moon. There were some things that looked like, they weren't towers, but they looked like towers. Kind of, some kind of a tower rock, kind of pointy things. And then there was things flying around in the background. And then there showed the universe, like, the sky. You know, it was at night. And they showed the sky the way it really looks, not the way they show us how it looks.
Right,
so
they
it was very
decided to paint the stars curious. In behind the astronauts.
Yeah, it was. This is a new film, though. This isn't something that everybody's seen already. This is something that somebody sent me to my email just recently, and it's like a confidential film of some sort. So I don't know whether I should share that film or not. I'm kind of wondering about that. I don't want to get in trouble, and I don't want anybody banging down my door, taking me to jail. But then maybe I should broadcast it. That's what Alex Jones does when he gets stuff from people that are, he to protect himself, he just lets everybody see it. So I don't know. Maybe I should do that.
I've seen the Richard C. Hoagland one, and some of the stuff that was in there was making me laugh. I mean, there's like a few camera anomalies. That were just really, really strange. He was seeing what he was referring to as prisms as verification for there being a glass structure.
Someone else
actually tried to remake the moon footage. That was in another film, a YouTube film, and someone actually managed to remake it to a T using special effects.
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of those films. Just blows your mind away. And then they're telling, did you ever see the film about, or the, I don't know if it's a film or I read it, but there was a thing about, they were talking about the, maybe it was, what's his name? Oh, that guy. David Icke. Maybe it was David Icke talking about it, about the moon being hollow, and that there's a whole bunch of aliens or something living inside of it, and they're controlling us through the moon. They're controlling us, and that's why the moon doesn't turn the way all the other planets turn, because it's actually a satellite dragged here by some other civilization 300,000 years ago. And
okay,
they're supposedly empty, and they're supposedly doing something.
Are you familiar with Kepler's law?
Oh, I think I've heard of it. Yeah.
I've done some math, and the funny thing is, when you look at the density and the mass of the moon and the earth, you will find that the moon cannot without crashing into the earth or kicking the earth out of orbit.
Oh, yeah.
It just can't be done. And yet, it's there. You would physically have to produce some type of external pull on the earth while you insert the moon. I mean, that was kind of peculiar. So
yeah.
There's a little bit of an envelope where you have an impossible orbit. You can't have certain things of certain sizes orbiting around one another under certain situations. Because you would exert too much pull on the other and then having that other object fling out of orbit.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you, Arlene?
Kind of. I don't know.
In other words,
I don't know much about the mathematical thing.
Okay, you look at every other moon. Okay, why do you think the moons are so much smaller than the planets they orbit?
I don't know why.
Because if you get too big of an object, okay, either they're going to collide with one another or they're physically going to toss the other one out of orbit when they come in. It's just that basically you're putting a pull. Okay, the moon ended up pulling on the earth, and it still does. Right now, as it orbits, it makes the earth wobble back and forth as the moon orbits around. And it also has an effect on the oceans a bit.
Yeah.
But that effect would be so great when you insert it, okay, it would actually eject the earth from orbit.
Hmm.
So you would actually have to either build the moon piece by piece, okay, or you would have to physically attempt to hold the planet in place or you put the moon in orbit.
That is very odd. That moon is odd. And it even turned. Did you ever notice that turned, the little man on the moon turned? Is that normal?
The one thing that's kind of funny is, how would that happen? Well, you'd have to have some other gravitational pull acting on the area. And it would have to be a very strong pull to do that.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
I know Larry's going to disagree with me, but that's okay.
Right. You know, to me, there's another interesting thing. If you're an astronomer and you actually look at the moon over periods of time, you can see that the surface of the moon changes slightly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, little bridges and whatnot show up and disappear. The changes aren't huge, but if you got a really good telescope, you could see things crystal clear and know something's changing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, something. There's so much stuff. I mean, I've seen so many videos on, read so many stories on all this stuff, and it's going on in the universe. I don't know, you know, who's lying about what anymore. You know, like NASA and the government, who's lying about what? They're telling us this, and then you tell us that, and you show us this, and you see this, and it's that, and it's like, try to keep up with it, you know. And I used to follow around Donnie Gilson a lot and watch all the stuff that he did and some of the other ones. And, you know, they have a point about all this stuff. So do you, about what's going on, what's really going on out there. And it's hard to tell. you know.
I think they're losing the plot, and they know it. I mean, just look at the Sandy Hook. You got them saying that you could go for telling your view of how the event. If you want to tell your view of what happened, you know, you could go to jail. That's the what the town sheriff was saying. And I was like, what?
So they're already lying about everything else. Why not outer space, too? I mean, why not? They lie to everybody. You know, the government's lying about everything else is going on. So I don't know who to trust and what's really going on anymore. So I'm just kind of looking around for myself now. You know what? You know, just get yourself a really nice telescope and check it out yourself.
I mean, another thing you got is, you know, you got this concept where – these things could not exist, because if they exist, you'd have people talking about it. And then we got people talking about it, and we call them loons.
I know. And there's so many videos out there. You don't know which one's real and which one's not real, you know. I mean, I've seen pictures of things floating around in space up there, and it's incredible, the things flying around up there, and you're like, well, is that a real video or is that a fake video? It's hard to tell, you know. There's nobody there to say that it's fake, and I give up.
I mean, there are ways you can tell. I mean, sometimes things are a lot easier than others.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you do a really bad Photoshop job, I mean, it can be spotted. If you do a really, really good Photoshop job, that's harder mm-hmm. to spot.
Oh, really?
And it can actually get so good, you need a computer to tell the difference.
Wow.
Because the human eye can't perceive it. Even
yeah,
when you
I
zoom
can.
In like
yeah.
500 times, you know, jeez. you can't match up all the dots and say, there's the pattern.
Wow. Yeah, it's hard to tell, you know, unless you're a professional and you know what you're looking for. I can't tell by looking at this stuff. You know, I mean, a lot of people can't. There's so much fake stuff on the internet, too, you know. It's like, what do you call those agents? what do you call them?
I don't know if my logo, my promo photo got up on the Freedomizer yet.
Hmm.
But well, let's just say when I'm photoshopping the president, you know, putting the a Nazi symbol on his podium, you know, that's fun, and I don't care if I get it perfect. It makes a political statement, and that's that. But
yeah.
I wanted to get that perfect, and that's no longer fun. That's work. So I just thought I'd mention that good Photoshop jobs are not easy, and they're not they're not easy to find.
Hmm.
I mean, there's not many people who can do them.
Wow.
I mean, I can do it, but it just aggravates the crap out of me to do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't want it. I would never make a fake video, ever. I don't know why people would want to do that. That they think that that's fun to do. I don't know. I think it's stupid. shouldn't be trying to fool other people, you know?
Well,
you know, at least if they're going to fool you, at least tell at the end of the video, saying, oh, yeah, this is a joke or something, you know? But to try to make people believe.
Well, con men, whatever you want to call them, you know, out there to make things look fake. In other words, they're making fakes just so that someone else can point it out as fake. And they got to make it look real good so that the average person can't tell the difference between that and the real thing.
Right,
and the
reason
they're doing this is so that you, the average person, don't believe anything.
Good point. Yeah. Yeah, well, there's a lot of government agent people out there to debunk out everything, too, you know. they're all out there trying to debunk stuff. So it's such a big game that's going on, you know. You know, you're just sitting there scratching your head going, well, okay, what's real, what's not real? Nobody knows anymore. Which lie, is it live or is it Memorex? I don't know.
I mean, like here's something I found. I don't know if it's real or not. I mean, this would actually be relatively easy to fake. But the same, you remember these strange sounds just before the Colorado earthquake?
The Colorado earthquake? No.
Yeah. It sounded like someone was slamming the ground with a giant hammer. It was going bang, bang, bang. Okay.
Fracking? Fracking, maybe?
No, this was...
This
was something else. It was not fracking. It was not drilling. It just literally... I guess you could compare it to that of a hammer mill.
Wow.
But on a much, much larger scale. I mean, this was basically shaking the landscape. I mean, it was beyond just a noise in the background. I'm going to see if I could pull that up right now. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but it was a tremendous sound.
Wow.
Okay, let's see here.
Well, there's some pretty good sounds when that thing just hit over there in Russia. That asteroid, right? I mean, a huge boom, boom, boom.
Right, I mean, okay, I got sources on Cliff, you know, Cliff High? He's got a video out that he just put out, okay? And basically, he described it as having the effect, either it was a pressure wave or some type of, I would want to call it anti-gravity, because it was an actual push, where it made it look like a giant buttocks came out of the sky and sat on people's cars. Now, that's how he describes it. So I'm going to go ahead and describe it the same way.
It looks like a missile to me.
Okay.
I don't know.
But that's the effect it had on objects on the ground. It was actually pushing the hoods and tops of everyone's car in like a giant buttocks.
No way. I didn't see that part. Wow.
And this is Cliff High giving a firsthand account of his that he was in Russia. This was not, Cliff High was not in Russia, but he's quoting from a firsthand account. being that Cliff High is a linguist, okay? You know, and he's very, very good with words, I'm going to consider his description of this to be as good as firsthand. Okay.
Okay.
Here's the sound from the here's the sound from the Colorado earthquake. Okay, you hear that?
Barely, yeah. Well,
okay, let me turn that way off.
Yeah, hang on. I'm making noise. Hang on. Okay.
Okay. Now that.
Yeah. That is weird.
Yeah, that is weird. And that a very, very similar sound, basically a carbon copy of that, was reported in near the sinkhole in Louisiana. Now, I have no way of knowing if this one's legit. I mean, it would be very, very easy to just redub that and call it real. Also, I should mention that there's no other videos out there. There's just two videos, a one and a two, like a continuation of that. And I don't have any sources. I don't have, you know, I don't have a thread with, you know, dozens of users talking about it. I don't have anything like that to say that it was absolutely real. I can't say that it was not real at this point. I just can't say that I'm 100% sure that it was.
Weird.
So.
Don't know. That's so strange, though. That's, I know I heard some of the videos. So I was like, what?
Right, you know.
Never heard an asteroid or whatever come through the sky before.
Yeah, I've heard that, and that was.
So I break out the windows of a bunch of buildings and stuff.
Right, it's breaking out. It broke out windows.
Did it break out windows of cars too?
I'm sure it did.
I was wondering about that.
It was often smashing cars.
Wow.
Like completely smashing them in. Like as Cliff High described it, like a giant buttocks came out of the sky and sat on their car. That is the. That is how he described it. I'm thinking this was a pressure wave because behind the building, the buildings protected cars for some distance behind them, but the cars in front of the building were not protected. And by in front of, I mean between the asteroid and the building. If the building was between the asteroid and the cars, those cars were relatively okay.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Like a way, yeah.
I'm thinking it was a pressure wave. Because if it was a gravitational effect, gravity goes through mass. Okay? Mm-hmm. So the building would provide no protection against a gravitational-like effect. So it was exploding constantly with enough force that it was breaking windows, almost leveling buildings, but not quite meeting that threshold. And it was just doing this constantly for like 10 minutes as it passed over.
You sure wouldn't want to be sitting on the pot when that happened.
Yeah, that would be.
You'd be like, holy shit!
Yeah, that would be.
I mean, you gotta think of the people that were not outside waiting for this thing to happen. What they might be doing at the moment. Oh, gosh.
Right, one thing I should mention, I'm still getting, it's not affecting me all that much, because I got 25 megs of download, but I think I might be having a denial of service attack, because pages are loading slowly, and I'm directly connected to my modem, because I wasn't going to bother to configure spend a bunch of time configuring the firewall. It's time for me to get on, I need to get on. So I said, scratch that, plug, bypass it.
But, I think you're making it a little bit more difficult than it has to be.
I'm Captain Overkill.
Yeah, a little overkill. It's really easy. You just have to get used to it. But it's not easy when the stuff's not working. Sometimes it doesn't work, or sometimes you think it's not working. You know what I do is the best thing to do is if you're not sure you're on the air, just call your cell phone and you then keep talking, and then you can hear yourself talk while you're on the air. And then you know you're on the air. Otherwise, you don't know.
Right. I could also just refresh and use the blog talk on over here too, though.
I've done that. Sometimes that doesn't work either. Sometimes it doesn't work, and I'm like, oh, really? No, it doesn't work.
I've had that problem a few times, but Firefox, for some strange reason, 99% of the time, it works fine for me.
Yeah, well, some of the time, yeah. But sometimes I don't even get the on-air button. Sometimes it stays off. It, like, doesn't come on. Like, right now, it's on for you.
Right.
On the switchboard, it's on. But otherwise, a lot of times I go on, I can't get callers, I can't get the on-air button. There's a lot of things that are just broken. Broken. Everything's broken.
Okay.
And Proof is probably listening to your show going, why are they talking about this on air? Or maybe we shouldn't be talking about this on air.
But, and, you know, another thing, too. No, I personally think, you know, we should let people know what's going on. You know, it's one thing to keep passwords secret, you know. I'm all for keeping the password secret. You know, for instance, though, you know, right now, it's like there's a lot of crap they do. I mean, like, one of the things they just did to me, I didn't realize it, but they broke my my Skype app, my Click to Call Skype app. It's a little add-on you put on your browser so that you click on the you click on it, right? And then it goes from your browser and makes your Skype ring. Okay? The problem that I had is that I was like, okay, what happened? Did I somehow uninstall that unknowingly? So I went to Skype, got it again, and then when I went to install it, I have the option to remove it. Okay? So it wasn't removed. It was just broke. I had the option to repair or remove it.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, and this probably happened sometime between when my firewall got I don't want to say hacked. There's a glitch. Basically, I'm setting up the I'm doing the setup to a backdoor. When in actuality, I think they want you to do it through a command line the first time around, and I'm putting in the wrong password a few times so that it asks me to
Well, that happens.
Right. So that it asks me to change my password and then gives me the full access that I need. But for some odd reason, I think they want you to do the initial setup from the command line.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to... So I'm going to have to do some research and find out how to do that. So that when I do that correctly, I get full access to all of the settings after I initialize it. Because if I glitch it like that, I have to log in a few times with the wrong password change before I get full access that I should have by default. It's those little stuff like that going on. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to reinstall my system right after my show again. Then I'm going to reinstall the firewall again. And then I'm going to do this command prompt, okay? Therefore have it set up correctly.
Okay. I got to go because I got like 4 minutes left. 3 minutes of the show, so I gotta go.
Oh, you got 3 minutes before. Oh, yeah, your show.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll talk to you. You'll hear me. Okay,
right,
so you
know,
can do whatever.
Yeah, I might be
okay.
Oh, bye. Okay.
Bye.
Okay, like Rain, otherwise, a.k.a. Renee, was saying, I might be making this slightly more difficult than it has to be, but at the same time, I like making sure that things work. Okay? In other words, screw me once, you're not going to screw me twice. So that's how I do things. Now, I guess I have to say, though, part of this delay was my fault. Okay? And now I'm going to be logging out so that Renee can log in and do her show. Okay? So, Renee, prepare to log in. So, you know, my way of thinking, if you overkill it, you know, with the right software or the right procedures, you know, you will not have any problems if you get it right. If you get it wrong, well, in some cases, you end up with extra problems. And that is a risk that one has to take if you're going to go ahead and do that. So, okay, let's see here. Renee, I'm logging out. Now, but yeah, once you get rid of those problems, you overcome them, you know, you won't have them again. You know, setup problems that I'm talking about. So,
hello, everybody. Hello. This is me. This is Critical Immunity, Mary and Renee. I have a little story to read to you guys tonight. And it's about let me see. 1 second. Okay. I'm hearing myself. Why am I hearing myself? Oh, yeah. Echo. Sorry about that, guys. Okay. The echo's turned off. Now I can read. Okay. I have a little story to read, and it's not really the time of year, but it's a nice story in. It kind of has to do with Christmas time, because, you know, just imagine that it's Christmas. Anyway, it was a really nice story. So it's called The Gold and Ivory Tablecloth. It's, let me talk about, okay, a pastor's impulsive purchase leads to an incredible reunion, coincidence or divine guidance. You be the judge. Okay, at Christmas time, men and women everywhere gather in their churches to wonder anew at the greatest miracle the world has ever known. But the story I best to recall was not a miracle, not exactly. It happened to a pastor who was very young. His church was very old, and once long ago, it had flourished. Famous men had preached from its pulpit, prayed before its altar, rich and poor alike had worshipped there and built it beautifully. Now the good days had passed from the section of town where it stood, but the pastor and his young wife believed in their rundown church. They felt that with paint, hammer, and faith, they could get it in shape. Together, they went to work. But late in December, a severe storm whipped through the river valley, and the worst blew fell on the little church. A huge chunk of rain-soaked plaster fell out of the inside wall just behind the altar. Sorrowfully, the pastor and his wife swept away the mess, and they couldn't hide the ragged hole. The pastor looked at it and had to remind himself quickly, "Thy will be done." But his wife wept. Christmas is only 2 days away. That afternoon, the dispirited couple attended at auction held for the benefit of a youth group. The auctioneer opened a box and shook out its folds a hand some gold and ivory lace tablecloth. It was a magnificent item, nearly 15 feet long. But it too dated from a long vanished era. Who today had any use for such a thing? There were a few heartfelt bids. Then the pastor was seized with what he thought was a good idea. He bid it for $6.50. He carried the cloth back to the church and tacked it up on the wall behind the altar. It completely hid the hole, and the extraordinary beauty of its shimmering handwork cast a fine holiday glow over the chancel. It was a great triumph. Happily, he went back to preparing his Christmas sermon. Just before noon on the day of Christmas Eve, as the pastor was opening the church, he noticed a woman standing in the cold at a bus stop. "The bus won't be here for 40 minutes," he called, but he invited her into the church to get warm. She told him that she had come from the city that morning to be interviewed for a job as governess to the children of one of the wealthy families in town, but she had been turned down. "A war refugee," she said in perfect English. The woman sat down in a pew and chafed her hand and rested. After a while, she dropped her head and prayed. She looked up at the pastor, began to adjust the gold and ivory lace cloth across the hole. She rose suddenly and walked up the steps of the chancel. She looked at the tablecloth. The pastor smiled and started to tell her about the storm damage, but she didn't seem to listen. She took up a fold of the tablecloth and rubbed it between her fingers. "It is mine," she said. "It is my banquet cloth." She lifted up the corner and showed the surprised pastor that there were initials monogrammed on it. "My husband had the cloth made especially for me." Something's going on here. I'm hearing noise. What happened? Huh. I'm having noise difficulties. Where is this coming from? One second. Oh, okay, I found it. Sorry, guys. There's something playing. One of these things. Get that off there. There we go. Well, that really worked. Okay, sorry about that. Anyway. Okay. Now I gotta find my place. Okay, she lifted up to the corner. Da, 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 da. Okay, my husband had the cloth made especially for me in Brussels. There could not be any other like it. For the next few minutes, the woman and the pastor talked excitedly together. She explained that she was Viennese, that she and her husband had opposed the Nazis and decided to leave the country. They were advised to go separately. Her husband put her on a train for Switzerland. They planned that he would join her as soon as he could arrange to ship their household goods across the border. She never saw him again. Later she heard that he had died in a concentration camp. "I have always felt that it was my fault to leave without him," she said. "Perhaps these years of wandering have been my punishment. The pastor tried to comfort her, urged her to take the cloth with her. She refused, and then she went away. As the church began to fill on Christmas Eve, it was clear that the cloth was going to be a great success. It had been skillfully designed to look its best in candlelight. After the service, the pastor stood at the doorway, and many people told him that the church looked beautiful. One gentle-faced, middle-aged man, he was the local clock and watch repairman, looked rather puzzled. "It is strange," he said in his soft accent. "Many years ago, my wife, God rest her soul, I owned such a cloth in our home in Vienna. My wife put on it on the table," and here he smiled. "Only the bishop came to dinner." The pastor suddenly became very excited. He told the jeweler about the woman who had been in church earlier that day. The startled jeweler clutched the pastor's arm. "Can it be? Does she live?" Together, the two got in touch with the family who had interviewed her. Then in the pastor's car, they started for the city. And as Christmas Day was born, the man and his wife, who had separated through so many saddened Yule tides, were reunited. To all who heard this story, the joyful purpose of the storm that had knocked a hole in the wall of the church was now quite clear. Of course, people said it was a miracle, but I think you will agree it was the season for it. So I thought that was a really nice story to read, you guys. Probably put half of you to sleep, sorry. Anyway, nice to have everybody here on this, what day is this? It is Tuesday, February 19th. Let's see, who's here? Nobody's here. Okay, that's interesting. This thing never works. Okay, well. So anyway, I guess I'll get on to my stories. I had a quick one of them out because it started making a commercial on me. That wasn't nice of them to do. Okay. This is back to health news. Okay. Actually, no, this is Dr. Robert Scott Bell news. Sorry. Okay, this is Dr. Frank King, Healing Revolution, Sexual Health, Motrin Dangers, OMSJ's Clark Baker HIV and his Innocence Project, LAPD corruption coverage, and Lyme Chef's geneticals, and more. Okay. Do you still take NSAIDs like aspirin and ibuprofen like they are candy to combat nagging pain, headaches, and inflammation? Well, yeah, that's a good point, because I used to take loads of aspirin because I used to get headaches and stuff. I used to take loads of aspirin sometimes. Oh, my God. I used to take aspirin and drink alcohol together, and they always say don't do that. I'm still alive, but that was probably not a very good idea to do something like that. Probably burnt a few brain cells along the way. But anyway, back to my report. RSB was on the Jerry Doyle show yesterday covering a huge court case where a family was awarded $63 million in compensation for damage caused by Motrin. What happened? She suffered a rare side effect known as toxic epidermal necrosis and lost 90% of her skin and was blinded. It also damaged her lungs so severely that she only retains 20% of her original lung capacity. Wow. Could this happen to you? RSB will talk about the metabolic pathways corrupted by the NSAIDs and how you should invest to hemodialysis centers if you insist on utilizing OTC drugs like ibuprofen on a regular or even semi-regular basis. Are there other options? Of course. Tune in today. It's Friday, so that means it's time once again for the Healing Revolution with Dr. Frank King. It's Valentine's Day still going strong for you? Oh, if not, maybe we can bring you some healthy suggestions for improving sexual function. Okay. I can add to that, but I'm not. There are many reasons and casual links to loss of libido, and local lower chakra function. Chakra. Yeah. And none of them require use of life-threatening lifestyle drugs. Have you ever heard of Spanish fly? Boy, I find this is a doctor's report. It is an actual known as cantharis. It's very powerful homeopathic remedy of often used in conjunction with other key ingredients to restore proper genitourinary function. Well, cover that and even discuss those who suffer from hyper-functioning sexual system. Could the same remedies work in both situations? What role do you endocrine disrupting chemicals play in such a dysfunction? What about the adrenal stress hormones, menstrual cycle irregularities? Also, many people suffer with occasional herpetic outbreaks. Ooh, what can be done for them? Finally, for those suffering with eye-related diseases, how might the eye stress formula be able to help you? This is a healing revolution. Call 1-800-543-3245 if you would like more information. Wow. Maybe they should just go on a date every once in a while and, you know, spice their life up a little bit like it was in the beginning. I don't know. That would be my suggestion. That's my personal suggestion. Take her on a date. Go for a movie. You know, walk along a beach. You know, just never know. I can add to that, and I'm not. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Clark Baker, former... This is another article in the same article. Okay. Clark Baker, former LAPD cop, U.S. Marine, and good friend, joins me from the Office of Scientific and Medical Justice. Well, we'll discuss his history as a police officer with the Los Angeles Police Department, including the experience uncovering corruption and becoming a whistleblower on it. Ooh, yeah, that's cool. How does the politicization of the police force open, that's my new word, open it up to cops that may not abide by the law? Clark's journey is fascinating and important to understand as it relates to events surrounding current corruption with the police forces everywhere. This will be a much different discussion of the Dorner case than you will ever hear anywhere else, but I want to provide a 360-degree perspective on many facets surrounding the increased militarization of local police departments. What is the machinery of retailization? Clark will access some Dorner's manifesto to see if it is consistent with his own experience as a cop targeted for retailization. I need to go to bed. Then we'll move on to his work with the OMSJ and the HIV Innocence Project. Did you know that there are people convicted of crimes based on faulty evidence devoid of factual scientific basis? The crime? Being diagnosed HIV positive. Clark and I will explain how the criminal justice system is the place where the HIV doctors are up the AIDS creek without a paddle. Okay. Then Liam Sheff is back to take us into the weekend of as the vaccine damaged superheroes arrive. The geneticals is available. The oversized paperback full color adventure, beautifully drawn and painted and printed, takes on four vaccine damaged superheroes against the union of the uninterested scientists who are out to inject the world with vaccines. Not if the geneticals can stop them. From Liam, after 9 months of the great feedback, loving reviews, and some helpful copy edits later, the book is ready for the worldwide audience. So get it digitally. Official Stories, the groundbreaking book of investigative comedian Liam Sheff, is now available on Amazon's worldwide Kindle platform for $9.99 US. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, sounds like I'm reading commercials here. Okay. Wait, I think I skipped around something. Okay, anyway, I'm just going to go back to my next day. I hate when that happens. What was that noise? It just went beep, beep, beep. Oh, interesting. Okay. What we got here? Okay. The hideous bam, bam, B-A-M, bam, 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 bam. In Obama, map your brain for your own good by John Rappaport. I can say John Rappaport. Now, let's just put a little few X's, a few more P's, and a few more O's in there. I know I'm crazy. Okay, first thing, map your brain. And by you, I mean everybody. What? President Obama has just greenlighted a 10-year Manhattan Project for the human brain. I warned it coming years ago. Obama, should I read anything about him? The new billion-dollar enterprise is called BAM, the Brain Activity Map Project. The fact that DARPA is one of the agencies involved tells you a great deal. DARPA is the cutting-edge military outfit in charge of new technologies for the armed forces. They want to create the enhanced soldier, and all of that implies think Android. Behind the front of the claims that BAM will create new therapies for mental disorders for which no defining diagnostic test even exists. The plan is forward artificially intelligence, which means creating a computer that works at least as well as the one inside your skull. This is the technocrat's wet dream. We can now power up an artificial brain, so such power and intelligence that it can make all crucial decisions for the human race for this central planning. But, ew, in the wake of Sandy Hook, other implications are also clear. BAM will be used to devise a minority report society which purported markers of future violence will be utilized, play I'm having problems, to forcibly treat with toxic drugs contained to prevent predicted criminals from carrying out fantasies percolating in their subconscious. Would those fantasies, if left alone, ever arise in the level of an action? Irrelevant. Cast a wide net in the name of prevention. Welcome to Expanded Mental Health Services. You're on the list? Oops. You must be treated. Here's your mandatory appointment slip. Yes, little drugs are highly toxic. Yes, they can cause you to commit horrendous acts of violence, but we don't want to talk about that. Of course, what I'm sketching out here is not happening by next week, but BAM is a giant step on the road towards this future. Oh, glad I'm not going to be here. It's far from trivial. The started goal is the mapping of all neuronal activities in humans. This is a science fiction coming alive now. Oh, my God. Oh, Star Trek. Star Trek started this all, I'm telling you. Anyway, the American Psychiatric Association and Big Pharma are drooling with anticipation. Drooling. Yeah, I bet they are. This is precisely what they've been aiming for: vastly expanded treatment options, more diagnoses, more drugs, more control. BAM has been on the drawing boards for years, but after Aurora and Sandy Hook, the timing is right. The subtext of BAM is, people, we will protect you. We will gain access to the brain and rechannel it away from violence. You will be safe. Oh my God, humanized robots. BAM is the step before reconfiguring the brain, which is a long-term and underlying goal. These neuroscientists have no interest in the concept of freedom. They left that in the dust decades ago. For them, the brain is merely a machine that needs a great deal of tweaking because people are naturally misprogrammed and corrections must be built into a new and better system. Oh, Lord. Now we're computers. Yep. That sounds really scary. Of course, new and better will pivot on non-scientific value judgments, masked behind masses of techno-speak, and you will have no input into the choice of values. You're the experimental device. The neuroscientists are the operators. They're already doing that with us, you know, controlling us. Everyone on board for this one. The National Institutes of Health, private foundations, universities, drug companies, they all wrangle a piece of the pie. The White House is touting BAM as a job creation as well. Of course they are. Huxley left out the Brave New World. This is a wonderful way to bring up employment numbers. If we take the engineering of humans far enough, everybody can work. Oh, y'all. If you're wondering what the hell the federal government is doing mapping the human brain, you're back in the Stone Age. You're probably interested in, what did they used to call it? Oh, yes, the Constitution. Excess interest in that moldy document probably has a correlation with a certain brain activity, which can be mapped and charted, and then you're on a list. Up to page. Okay. The subject shows typical neuronal dysfunction in a sector 254-A. This is a James Madison disorder. Recommend immediate detention and treatment. Huh. The new study from the BAM Plus group at Harvard has found a significant relationship between homeschooling and an excess velocity in synaptic transmission. Such velocity surpasses recommended limits. Yes, it's a joke right now, but we're just on the slippery slope. But we're going downhill in a few new miles as of today. Back in when professionally praised scientific lunatics like Dr. Ewan Cameron and Yale's Jose Delgado declared that the human being had no right to his own intrinsic personality. People thought such a notion was absurd. But now the language is far more clever and densely obscure. It's quite possible, move by move, to propagandize in human research with the government press releases right into the era of the brain-adapted population. Just as the public has brought into the idea that all mental disorders spring from chemical imbalances, well, I've heard of that. Despite the fact that no normal level of balance has been established, wow. So it will be easy to convince the population that the abnormal brain activity of 100 billion neurons can be measured, categorized, and specified and treated. Huh. Well, that's really, so, okay. Anyway, it's a science. It must be true. Science marches on. Science is the hand servant of humanity. Greatest good for the greatest number. The worshippers at the altar of big government who believe its function is that of a giving God that will go along gladly. For those of that faith, BAM sounds right, and therefore it must be right. No thinking required. Yeah, I didn't make a point there. Yeah. What about the rest of us? A secret, don't touch my brain, mother blank is a good start. It has a nice ring to it. I'm sure it correlates with quite healthy levels of neuronal activity. Okay, I read that. I didn't make that up. Here's a prediction. You can take it to the bank. On that day when BAM completes the vaunted mission, our esteemed leaders will manage to exempt themselves from brain scans, and that might reveal their own dark visions and objectives. It might even be called the Obama exception. Oh, please. If you're sitting in a pew on the left and you don't like that one, try the Bush exception. Under this brilliant reign, we had the Teen Screen Program, a maniacal project to test all children for mental disorders at a young age. It failed and went out of business. Probably a good idea. But BAM has a lot more juice. It aims to go the distance. It has the premature of a hard science. That's the venue in which they cook up the biggest lies. the one with real money behind them, the real Auschwitz experimenters, John Zapaputa. So that's pretty scary to me. I don't know what in the world they're going to do next. Do you? Seems pretty upsetting. Don't you think? Gone. Okay, I can't. Yeah, I see your call. I can't get your call. Yeah, I see your call, Larry, but I can't put you on that way. But I can put you on another way. So I'll call you on Skype. I hope it works. Okay, pick up as soon as I call you. I hope you wanted me to call you. Okay, we're going to try to call you. If you don't pick up right away, I'm hanging up so it doesn't advertise your phone number again. Okay? So just give me a second here. That's a good call. I guess. Okay. Try to get Larry on here.
Renee.
Hey.
If you watch the screen, you'd know I called in.
It's not on there. It's not on Blog Talk screen. I just checked it. You're not on
there. I even put it in the chat room. Well, no, I hung up to call your phone.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway, it's all right.
I still...
It's not on the, it's not on the screen?
No, it is.
Yeah, because, well, I hung up, called your phone, and then called back in. I was trying to get your attention because you weren't paying attention to anything on the screen except for what you were reading. Yeah, but, yeah, it's good to take a breath once in a while and see what's going on. But anyway, hello.
Hello?
Now I have both my lines hooked up. Let me call back. Because this has my phone all screwed up now. Okay.
All right, I'll hang up. Okay.
There you go. Can you hear me? Guess not.
Okay, guys. I'm going to commercials. It just seems like being crazy. Hopefully I'm on here. Okay. Get Larry back on here. Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Are you there? Okay. My Blog Talk went off for some reason, so I had to turn it back on. I had to call back in, I think. I don't know what's going on. So anyway.
Can you hear me?
Can you go to commercials? Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to go on commercials. You want to wait for a second?
Blog Talk gets screwy sometimes. It's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
Internet ain't perfect. I mean, the government made it to begin with. You expect it to work right? Come on. Really. Since when has the government ever done anything perfect? Let's see.
No,
not that.
I don't remember.
Now, the F-14 Tomcat was a pretty cool jet, but that's not quite the same. That, you know. No, as far as I can't think of anything that the government's ever done that's perfect. Oh, I give up. If anybody knows, raise their hand, let me know, because I have no clue as to what the government's ever done that's been perfect. So I need somebody to help me with that one. Call in even if you have a suggestion. But I'll hold your feet to the fire. I'll test you on your knowledge of it, because you better be right, because the government's never right. But meanwhile, on with the show. Do the commercials.
Yeah. After the commercials, yeah. The phone number is 347-324-3704. But we have to go.
Yeah, but also, I do want to cover a couple of things before we do take calls, though. I just be forewarned.
Yeah. So just hang on and we'll take the calls when we get done. Okay. Well, here we go. Okay, we'll be right back, everybody. Can you put your cell phone on hold? Good one.
I have to back out of this. Hold on a second. Let's see here. Yeah, I can mute my own phone.
Okay. I got to put myself. I'll put myself on hold. Okay.
I'm muted. Don't put me on hold. I'll do my own little thing, okay? Go ahead. Do your thing. Do the commercials.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. Annabella's and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We are going to let them know the new world government has been identified, and they thought they just clawed the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
See the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at SheeTheMotionPicture.com.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants, I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea. Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to FreedomizerRadio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on FreedomizerRadio.com. Hey, guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called SolarBay. And SolarBay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer for as long as they have SolarBay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has SolarBay. You sign up enough people, and SolarBay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to SolarBay.com/freedomizer. That's SolarBay, SolarBei.com/freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, SolarBay.com/freedomizer.
Greetings, this is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my new show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. It's sort of a red pill, blue pill, going down the rabbit hole kind of show, featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again. As I will attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 1:30 Pacific Time. Once again, that's Eccentric Perspective, only on Freedomizer Radio.
This is Debbie.
And I'm Michael, along with CD, the Constitutional Defender Dog. Is mainstream media giving you the real stories, or are they just telling you what they want you to hear?
Join us for Securing Liberty on Freedomizer Radio, Thursday evenings at 11 p.m. Central.
We'll be joined by great guests, discuss interesting and important topics, current events, maybe even a little humor. Be prepared for anything.
It will be 90 minutes of information sure to help you on your quest for truth. So join Securing Liberty at 11 p.m. Central on Freedomizer Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Renee from Critical
Community. This is Larry.
That's Larry. Hi, everybody.
I think it's me. Let's see.
That's you?
Yeah, it's me. My dog says it's me. If it wasn't me, she'd be tearing my butt a new one because I'd be in the wrong truck. She does not tolerate strangers in this truck.
Oh.
Now the boss man, he can get in the truck to move it over when it's at the yard to get work done, but the mechanics found out they can't get in the truck, even though she's friends with them on the ground. That's another one. That was pretty funny. She didn't kill anybody. She just kind of nipped him on the wrist and told him, get out of my daddy's truck or else. Boy, he bailed out faster than lightning.
I can see his plumber's pants hanging down to his knees.
Well, no, Mark isn't. No, he doesn't do crap.
Oh, I don't know him. I don't know him.
He's good people. But I was worried about it because I was thinking, oh, crap, you know, quarantine messy kind of thing. And then, he blew it off, you know. Just kind of shrugged it off and said, I know better. That was kind of dumb on my part.
Oops.
I just forgot. You know, and it's like, because I'd left her in the truck. It was like summertime and stuff. And the air conditioner was on and she was chilling. And then wakes up and says, hey, you're not supposed to be in here. Get out. But meanwhile, back to the ranch. Yesterday, I wanted to add something real quick here. You were talking about a lot of different stuff earlier. I met some people at a pet store. I won't give them any free advertisement, that's for darn sure. Let's just say they're one of the big chains, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I insulted the pet store because I started talking about bad dog food and vaccines while in the pet store in the checkout line buying the dog food. And I started telling them about corn and wheat, oats and rice and all this other crap that's in dog food doesn't belong there. Dogs don't need to eat grain of any type. And they were surprised by it. And then we got talking about vaccines and I told them, and by then I had pretty much paid for mine and they were paying for theirs. And I started talking to them about pet vaccines and how they're shortening the lifespan of dogs. And they looked at me like, you're kidding, right? I said, no, I'm not kidding, man. It's bad news. And then I told them, we wound up going outside. And then I told them about the same problem with humans. I said, I pointed out to them, I said, look at it. Since vaccines have escalated in this country alone, look at how autism has escalated. You don't see a correlation there? But they understood what I was saying. They caught on. They had never really thought of it. Nobody really ever told them there is a gazillion ingredients in vaccines that don't even belong in there. And I know I'm exaggerating saying gazillion. Okay, so it's probably just a few less than gazillion. But we as individuals need to educate our neighbors. And there's plenty of stuff out there we can take off the computer, print it out, go put out flyers on telephone poles, on shopping center windows, like strip malls when nobody's watching. You just kind of walk by and with a piece of scotch tape and go, oops.
Bulletin boards.
Yeah, especially around, the big dog pet stores and stuff. I caused problems in a feed store that is primarily Purina. You can tell where their paycheck comes from. I started talking to them about organic chicken feed, and I even lined up a source where I told them, I said, look, I'll pay for the shipping and half the pallet if you go in on it with me. But they wouldn't. And then I realized, no, because everything they sell is Purina. And all that feed is GMO. You have to be really careful. By the way, if anybody wants a good contact in the United States, I know of a couple of sources for good organic chicken feed if you want it. But anyway, on to other things. By the way, oh, chickens make really good fertilizer machines for your garden after you've plucked up all your vegetables, not before. Because they do like zucchini and stuff like that. You're not going to have nice vegetables if you let your chickens go in there while they're growing. Whether you're growing a garden out in the woods doing spot farming, like I have told you in past shows, where you just make a 2 or 3 foot long by a foot and a half wide plot with a couple of plants on it, or you have a nice big garden plot. Once your plants start coming up, cover it with mulch. It'll retain moisture, or at least help retain moisture anyway. Sometimes pine bark's not bad if you're dealing with certain berry bushes like raspberries and blueberries, things like that. Stay away from the pine on plants that need a higher pH in the soil, because pine will drop the pH and make it more acidic. Use straw as far as, you know, your regular garden. That's a good ground cover, and you won't lose so much moisture when the sun comes up.
What if you use if there's high winds where you live?
Do what?
How you keep this? If you have high winds where you live, how do you keep the straw down?
You water it.
All the time?
Well, eventually it'll get matted down, and after a couple of waterings,
you
can go through there and walk around and tamp it down after you water it. Okay? And then see, by doing that compacts it pretty good. Okay? That way it won't blow away when the moisture starts drying out. But you'll still have a lot of moisture down in your soil, and that's the main thing. And if you lose some straw, you add some more. It's cheap. I think it's $3 or $4, maybe $5 for a bale of it. And that goes a long ways. Throwing compost over the top of the soil is good. If for those that have their own compost piles, if you start one, start out with 1/5 dirt and the rest of it organic matter that you want to break down. And the reason why I say dirt, because that will help kickstart real fast the micronutrients breaking, or microenzymes and such, breaking down the organic matter. It helps speed things up. But don't put meat or bones or anything like that in there. Just eggshells is okay. Crunch them up, you know, throw them in. But, you know, like lettuce, carrot tops. I know I'm not talking about red heads.
You don't want to check bugs either.
Well, a good, healthy compost pile, once it starts working, you're not going to really have a problem with bugs a whole heck of a lot.
Really?
you'll get a couple of grubs or something, but let your chickens go through there and pick out the grubs. That's free food for them. And if you want to make sure that you don't get infestation of insects, throw some diatomaceous earth on it. It's not going to hurt anything except for the insects.
So chickens eat grubs, which are worms, right?
Yeah, they eat everything. Grasshoppers.
And then we eat chickens. And then we eat chickens. That's sick.
Yes, we eat chickens. They'll even eat a snake.
A snake? I didn't see a chicken
yeah.
and a snake.
Mr. Whiskers and his girlfriend killed a snake out in the backyard one day.
Now that's a weird picture in my mind.
Actually, it was a good snake, too. It's just he made the bad mistake of going through the backyard. But, yeah, I went out there because I heard them all going crazy and everything. And there's Mr. Whiskers. You know, he's all. That's why I called him, because he was an Americana. It's a what they call an Easter egg or chicken.
Yeah.
And but yeah, he was all proud. He was like, "That's right, I'm bad." Uh huh. But he caught a snake, you know, slithering
wow.
through the yard, and he and his girlfriend, you know, just decided life's over for Mr. Snake. So, you know, but yeah, I let them have their fun. It was good protein for him, and they said it didn't taste like chicken. Little joke there.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, let the chickens go through your compost a little bit. They'll help kind of stir things up. It's also good to get a bunch of wrigglers, you know, redworms, and
yeah.
maybe mix it up. Don't get all the same earthworms. Get a few night crawlers. While they're slow and not as efficient as the smaller red worms, the wrigglers, they do their job too. There's a purpose for them. Once they get good in number, night crawlers can go through a compost pretty good. Coffee grounds is good to put in a compost. You know,
oh, yeah.
Pretty much, you know, any vegetable matter. You know, just don't do meat or anything like that. That's a totally different. You can do a compost pile with animal matter, but it has to be, one, farther away from the house, and two, you have to go about doing things a little bit different. But, yeah, you separate the two. You don't mix animal parts with your vegetable matter compost. You let the bones and stuff like, well, you could grind up bones into a powder and throw it in there and it would be okay. But me personally, I don't have a grinder to grind up bones, so I'm not even going to go there on that one. But it's better just to throw them all in a pit and, you know, throw some dirt over it and let it cook for a while, you know, pretty much half the summer. And eventually it'll turn back into, you know, dirt. But now, when I was a kid, we used to use fish heads in the garden for tomato plants
oh.
and stuff. Well, my dad and I used to go on a lot of fishing trips. We'd go to, like, Bennett Springs and Montauk, stuff like that, go trout fishing. You know, maybe go do some bass fishing. Anyway, you don't
things
eat heads.
We,
so, you know, use them for fertilizer.
Know.
What?
Things we don't know that goes, things we don't know that goes on farms. Fish
it's
heads.
Good fertilizer.
I know, I'm just picturing that. That's all.
Yeah, it's a lot
off.
Of nutrients. You have to bury it. You know, now some people, I picked up a load from this guy out in Massachusetts in Boston off the wharf, which that in and of itself was kind of cool because I got to see, you know, the old tall ships, the sailing vessels. Like the Constitution and all that, you know. But anyway,
yeah.
He made a fish emulsion. He took and ground up fish and liquefied it, mixed enzymes with it, and used that as a fertilizer.
Hmm.
And we found out, because the farmer I delivered it to, this is how I found out about anti-fire ants, I delivered it to the farmer. He was an organic farmer. He raised Angus beef organically, or Angus steers and cows and all that crap. And he pointed out that he didn't have any more fire ants when he started using this stuff, while his neighbors still had it, fire ants. Because fire ants can't mutate against something that's hot. They can mutate against chemicals that are poison, per se. It's something that burns them up. There's no getting over that.
Yeah.
I thought that was, you know, there's always a way around having to use pesticides.
Wow.
Me, I, on a smaller scale, because I'm not having to fertilize, like, I don't know, gosh, I think he had 1,200 acres of hay field that he was fertilizing. But, yeah, because he had to raise organic hay for his organic cattle, or they're not so organic. But with me, I don't, you know, I'm small time. I don't need that much, so I just use diatomaceous earth. But it's really good to use if you can find it. A good fish emulsion is excellent fertilizer. It adds a lot of nutrients to the soil, but it's still good to get a hardwood and burn it and take the ash from it and mix it in your soil. But while you do that, you have to add peat moss, too, to make sure your alkalinity doesn't go up through the roof. You don't want your pH too high.
Yeah.
So, you know, for about, let's say, every wheelbarrow full of ash, you probably want about half of that, or half of a wheelbarrow full of peat moss. Give you a rough idea of the ratio. I don't know if that makes sense to y'all, but hopefully it does. That'll keep your plants from just dying or withering up. Because if your pH goes up or down too much, your plants won't grow worth darn and they'll die. Anyway, yes, what? You were going to say something earlier and I kind of cut you off.
No, I'm fine. Good.
Okay. If you're out in the woods, if you're out in the woods and you're doing spot farming, to use ground cover, just use regular leaves. You know, oak leaves are the best way to go. They're neutral. They're not going to adjust your pH really bad. And it looks natural. And that's what you want. Mix it up, you know, throw some twigs, cross it and stuff. Make it look like it's, you know, it belongs there. Don't, you know, knock your plants over. You don't want to do that. And as far as problems with deer and stuff like that, well, deer will probably get a few of your plants. But every once in a while, if you want to have good source of venison, well, maybe it's good to let the deers get a little curious about your garden and wait for them. But anyway, just, you know, do a good ground cover over them, and that'll help them retain their moisture, and it'll keep it from looking so suspicious. And if you do that on the southern tree line, it blends in. Nobody's really going to see it unless they walk up on it. And, you know, it's kind of hard to disguise a tomato plant when somebody's 2 feet away from it. But at a distance, pretty much people aren't going to really see a whole lot. Let's see. Corn, that'll stand out. That's kind of hard to hide because some of the heirloom corn gets pretty tall. I've seen some that get over 15 to 20 feet tall. You don't really want those. You want the shorter variety heirloom corn. It's less conspicuous. But the rest of it, just whatever your taste goes for, you know. I'm not telling you to eat zucchini if you don't like it. If you don't like it, well, you know, that's your thing. but something that y'all will like, and it's really good food, and it stores for a long time, are the squash family, where you have the acorn, the butternut, and the delicata. The delicata is like a dessert squash. I mean, you fool your kids, getting them to eat healthy while they think they're having candy. It is basically what it boils down to. You just don't tell them it's good for them. You know? And it's easy to grow.
Mm-hmm.
They get pretty good size, and they store for a long time. Let's see. Trying to think of all the good survival kind of foods to have. And the reason why I bring up squash, not only do they last a long time, they're real high in nutrients. And you're going to be, if you're, let's say, in a situation where you don't have a lot of room to grow plants, and so you're going to have to be very careful about what you select. Well, you want to select things that are going to be giving you a high yield of nutrition for a low yield of space. Like, and pardon my sniffles and such, I'm really kind of under the weather. I've had the flu really bad.
Yeah.
Still, I have to do my job while I'm trying to get over the flu. Boy, I tell you, yeah, no rest for the sick.
Mm.
Yeah, I want to lay in bed. My dispatcher tells me I have to go up into Idaho, pick up a load, and take it down to Lubbock, Texas. So, meanwhile, you know, I'm not exactly getting the rest I need, but yeah, life goes on. Maybe I'll go home and take a couple of weeks off. But back on to other points. Like I was saying, try to pick plants that are high in nutrition for the space that they require. Be efficient. And stuff hits a fan situation, you're living out in the woods somewhere. That's even more of a necessity, to be efficient at what you choose. Pumpkins are really cool to grow, and you don't have to necessarily get big orange ones. There are several different varieties, actually a bunch of different varieties of pumpkins. And there's one that's a French variety, and I can't remember the name of it right now. One of these days, actually, when I go home, because I'm scheduled to go home here in the next week or so, but I'll look it up. I have some stashed away, and I just don't remember what the name of it is. I have like 8 or 9 different varieties of pumpkins seeds stashed away. But there are some that are really, really good. When it's ripe, it's a gray color instead of orange, so it's kind of camouflaged. And you really want plants in that situation that'll be kind of camouflaged, and from a fair distance, they're not going to show up. Think about it. It makes sense. You know, a big, tall tomato plant that grows beefsteak tomatoes, that might show up at a few hundred yards away. People will see something with big old red balls hanging from it. So, you know, that you have to be careful about that. Maybe get tomato plants that have a smaller tomato. Roma tomatoes are pretty good. Always get heirloom. And different cherry tomatoes. They have some cherry tomatoes that are yellow. Here's another thing, too. You get heirloom tomatoes that are yellow. And also there's a tomato that stays green. Same goes for cucumbers. There's cucumbers that, one's called a lemon cucumber. It's round, kind of in the shape of a lemon, and it's yellow. And then there's another one that's green apple cucumber, and it's, once again, it's like in the shape of an apple, and they're pretty good, and once again, they're kind of camouflaged, and they're good for nutrients.
That's just say there's so many different varieties of food, and when you go in the store, you only see the same old, same old, same old stuff. You
well, yeah, look
at
the potatoes
varieties.
They sell in the store.
Same
they
stuff,
sell the same,
same
old
stuff.
Crap all the time, and
yeah.
It's all hybrids. No heirloom stuff. And I was just up in Idaho picking up a load, right? And I went to this potato place. And I asked him, I said, man, y'all, you know, grow, you know, I started mentioning, you know, the blues and purples and reds and cranberries and all this stuff, you know, the different varieties of potatoes. And he knew about it. And he said, yeah, but, you know, mostly that goes to gourmet, you know, shops and stuff like that. That doesn't really get sold to the major stores.
Hmm.
Or it gets sold locally. The locals buy them up. But it doesn't go, you know, to like Cisco or Kroger's or China Mart or anything like that. Now, I have to say this. I was surprised because after hearing Proof talk about Meyer lemons, I wanted to go check and try some. Well, I went to Whole Foods, or as he calls it, Whole Paycheck, and the bag of Meyer lemons, on the label it says it was coated in all sorts of weird chemicals, right? None of it organic as far as, you know, from food-based. And I was like, oh, the heck with this. And that's a Whole Paycheck, right? So of all places, I go into China Mart the other day to, you know, get water for me and Nessie and all that. And I stopped in the produce, and there's Meyer lemons. And I looked at them. And, well, how about that? Well, they're not technically organic. They have a vegetable wax coating instead of a petroleum distillate coating. China Mart actually had better quality Meyer lemons than Whole Foods. Go figure. And I hate to say that because I'm always preaching about boycotting Walmart for the most part. And I most of the time do practice what I preach. It's just, you know, I'm kind of limited as to what I can do out here on the road. But anyway, at home, or actually in the woods too, for that matter, keep in mind it's good to grow fruit trees. Two of each kind, okay? Kind of like Noah with the clean animals, two of every kind, you know. But anyway, pears, two of them, peaches, two of them, cherries. The tart cherry is the best one to get because it's medicinal as well as food. Serious. Apples, I'd look at Fuji's, Gala's. They're the best ones all around for pretty much everything because you're going to be limited on what you can grow. And you're not going to have a whole apple orchard to have, you know, a diverse variety. So you want to pick one that's a multi-function or multi-purpose apple. And Fuji's and Gala's make pretty good apple pie if you have the inkling or just good to eat. Granny Smith's are good because they're high in pectin. And that's a good anti-cancer kind of thing, so I've been told. By the way, I'm not giving any medical advice. This is purely educational. I don't diagnose or treat illnesses for anybody, okay? Just so that the Fear and Death Administration and the Association of, well, I better not say, but the AMA or whatever, you know, doesn't come down on my case. But, yeah, I have to become be somewhat nice about some of that. But the fascist dictator agency will kind of get down on your case for practicing medicine without a license, so we know I don't do that. But anyway, pomegranates, those are pretty good. Apricots, if you're living in the southern region of the United States, a lot of this stuff will grow with no problem. You just have to make sure it stays watered and give it good ground cover. Once you've planted the tree, cover the ground back up. Sprinkle some diatomaceous earth around it so that you don't get little creepy crawlies trying to eat your tree up. And
creepy crawlies.
I know that y'all hear me say this a lot about diatomaceous earth, but it's no joke. Insects can't deal with them. It messes them up. The minute they touch that stuff, it starts its work and it cuts them up. Imagine you walking across a floor with a bunch of razor blades.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, that, you know, that it's not a nice picture. Sorry, that's kind of gross and bad analogy. My bad. But anyway, that's what it does to insects, though. And with them, once their carapace loses their protective coating, they're done for. They dehydrate. I mean, I've literally seen the scorpion make it about, I don't know, 3 or 4 feet past the doorway where it came in the house and just died.
How
it didn't
did
last
it
very
get,
long at all.
How did it get in the house?
He walked in. He knocked and Nessie wouldn't let him in and said, go away, but he came in anyway. Little
yeah,
joke there.
Yeah,
yeah, he took his little stinger. You could hear his like little tap, 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 tap on the door.
I keep your door closed all the time.
Yeah. No, there's a, actually, I've sealed it up. There were a couple of holes. See, there used to be a in a corner of the sunroom. It's an old house, folks. But in a corner of a sunroom, it's a southwest part of the house. There was this area that was done in concrete and brick and stone and all this crap. And it was all fancy schmancy with a water fountain and all that. Well, once all that got yanked out, as far as the guts of it, the concrete and the stone and all that are still there. And so there's a couple of holes that had to be plugged with masonry cement.
Oh.
You know, but
wow.
You know, it's an old house and it has cracks in it. You know, what do you want me to tell you?
Seal it. Step. Just take
yeah,
step
whatever.
Step it in
but
there.
Anyway, you know, it's easier just to put down
glue.
Diatomaceous earth and say, you come in here, you die. Okay? And all I have to do is pick up a dustpan, sweep them up, put them in the trash. You know,
oh.
They don't get far. Oh, don't get all weird on me, okay?
Yeah, but yeah, you can get up in the middle of the night in the dark and step on one. Ah, what the hell was that?
Well, wear slippers.
You might be in your slipper. Think about it.
Okay, and then so you hear a crunch, but you won't hear any pain or feel any pain.
Oh, kids, grab your big toe. Like a crab did in the ocean one time to me. I was in the ocean,
yeah.
The crab grabbed my big toe and let go.
Well, I don't have any crabs in my house. One thing I've noticed,
well,
I don't get any blue crabs or anything like that. I don't get any rock lobsters or any shrimp crawling in my house or anything like that. I don't have sea trout or sea bass swimming up to my door. You know, so that part
claws.
Of it I don't worry about.
They're just like a little, they're just like one. They got claws.
Yeah, but as far as flying insects on the fruit trees, because we're digressing, I wanted to cover this. It's good to, and I know of a couple of sources for this as well. You get praying mantises and ladybugs. They're both insects of prey that are really good. And also, if you get guinea fowl, they will devastate an insect population. You have some guinea fowl hanging around your fruit orchards, you will not have bugs. They might peck at a couple of apples or something once in a blue moon, but they're not going to destroy the crop, okay? There's going to be more there than what you can eat anyway. You know, but the guinea fowl eat bugs out the wazoo. They'll wipe out a tick infestation in no time flat. They're great little birds, and they're good warning devices. They're loud. So, they get used to certain people being around, and then if strangers or bad animals come around, then they start making a noise, and it's a heck of a noise. So, you know, it's a great burglar alarm, so to speak, or a trespasser alarm. But no seven dust. Because, remember, everything that you use has to be edible. You want to be organic.
Yeah.
The reason why I say that, I saw somebody put that in the chat room, and I mean, you know, if you're trying to be organic, there are just certain things. Seven dust, part of it's good because it's boric acid, but the other part of it, and I forget what it is, it's not 100% though, and it's not good for us. It is toxic. You can't be doing that. It does wash off easy, but still, if you're like me trying to do something to raise organic produce and sell to Whole Foods later on in the year, you have to be careful about what you use. But it's better to stick with diatomaceous earth. It works on everything, as far as anything with a shell, okay? Scorpions, spiders, ticks, fleas, ants, it'll wipe out ants. You put it on a mound and just let it go to work. But anyway, as far as planting your trees, a lot of people think, well, they can just put it in the ground, it's done, okay, you know, and they walk away. Then you have to be careful about how you plant the tree. Always make the hole about twice the size of the ball of the dirt for the tree. And then before you plant it, break the ball apart on the outside and trim away dead roots. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to hurt the tree. Don't get crazy and cut away good roots, just the ones that are dead. Okay?
Yeah.
And then put a little bit of compost down in the bottom, put the ball in, put a good mixture of dirt and compost around the ball. Okay? And then, you know, tamp it down, make sure there's no air pockets in it or anything like that, and then water it pretty good. Now, you really don't want to do the tree planting, if you can avoid to, anyway, in the summer. You want to do your tree planting in the spring and in the fall, too. But in the summer, it's pretty hard on young trees. You can do it, but you're going to have to babysit them. You're going to have to get, and if they're small enough, you're going to have to get nursery mesh. It's a black or a flat green mesh, and cover it with that so that the sun doesn't just bake your brand new tree that you planted.
Good. Yeah.
And it'll still get good
sunlight.
The mesh doesn't cut out all the sunlight. It just reduces it down so that it's not so harsh. You'll see some nurseries, in fact, most nurseries use that for a lot of their young plants and stuff.
Oh.
It cuts down on the intensity of the sun. Works good.
Mm.
But, yeah, you want a pretty good variety of tree that's going to offer you a lot of, you know, different kinds of food. You know, pears, apples. If you're in the right environment in the south, you know, pomegranates. Sorry, folks. Oh, gosh. Tangerines are really good. In fact, tangerines are awesome. They're better than oranges. In the south, you have to be careful about the apples. Not all apples will grow good in the south because it gets too hot for them sometimes. But from what I've seen, with proper care, you can do Gala and Fuji apples. Sorry, folks. Being sick sucks.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's see. Went to a sporting goods store that I won't mention their name because I don't give them their free advertisement. And it's amazing, by the way. A lot of people are still kind of oblivious to the real problems going on. But at the same time, there are quite a few people waking up, because when I went in there and I went into the ammo department, and this place has aisles and aisles of ammo, okay? Or at least the shelves for the ammo. The ammo was gone. 30-06, 223, 9mm, 40 cal, all the smaller stuff, gone. 308, gone. Now,
wow, that's weird.
You know, some whack job like me comes along and wants something bigger, like 44 Magnum. I don't have a problem. I find whatever I want. Nobody wants a damn bullet. It's like, you know, everybody's afraid of it. It's nothing to be afraid of. You have the pistol balanced right, and it's going to be a sweetheart. Trust me on that one. I've seen petite little women take a Ruger Redhawk with a 7.5-inch barrel and Hogue rubber grips, fire that thing, and it's a double action, and crank off 6 rounds and stay on target. Okay? Nothing to be afraid of that pistol. Yeah, it makes a big bang, and the receiving end of that bullet's going to, you know, have a big hole. But it's really not that bad. And it only takes one shot. Whereas with a wimpy little 9mm or a whatever, you're going to have to use 2 or 3 hits. And think about that. You know, 45 is good at close range. It may not have the penetration the 44 Magnum has, but that big old slug within 25 yards is going to pack a can of power into it, let's just say. Me personally, I prefer a 44 mag because of the penetration value, but that's just my own preference. But yeah, and even the supplies for loading your own ammo was getting slim. The 308 brass, where there's usually 10 to 15 bags sitting there on the rack, there were 2 bags left. Yeah. Even the 300 Ultramag, they only had a couple of bags left. And
people are getting ready.
What? Huh?
People are getting ready.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking now on the bigger bulk cases of 223 and stuff, they had several of those on the shelf. But the standard 20-round boxes of ammo were all gone.
Hmm.
They still had, like, boxes for 1,000 rounds or 500 rounds, stuff like that, at 223. But
I bet those,
you know,
shooting ranges are making a lot of money right now.
Well, people are starting to be a little bit more economical about their usage of ammo because
mm-hmm.
it's harder to find. When you have a government buying now, from what I understand, 2 billion rounds of ammo, that's billion with a B, and why does the government need hollow point bullets and 308 and 40 cal? Somebody tell me that's not for target practice. Think it's for us. And I don't plan on being a target for them to practice on either. But anyway.
Oh, my God.
Let's see. But yeah, the load your own kind of supplies are still there on the shelves. Although the powder was low, they were almost sold out of about half of their gunpowder.
Oh.
I couldn't even get any that I needed. Because the 300 Ultramag, you have to use certain kinds of powder because of, you know, I'm not going to go into ballistics and all that crap. But anyway, it was just, you know, the whole thing was like, holy crap, man. They were sold out of the presses, single-stage press for loading your own shotgun ammo, even. They were out of shotgun holes. They had no more, you know, that's a shell. okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's just, at least for the 3-inch and the 2 3/4-inch and 12 gauge. I think they still had some 20 gauge, but I don't mess around with that. Although, for people that are a little bit on the petite side or skinny, whatever, you don't want a big, huge howitzer hitting your shoulder. 20 gauge isn't bad. It still has pretty good power coming out the end of that barrel, and it's not going to hit your shoulder like a kick from a mule. And you can still get some pretty good velocity on slugs and double up buck. So if you don't exactly like the abuse a 12 gauge gives your shoulder, you can go down to a 20 gauge. Although you can also get reduced recoil 2 3/4-inch shells. You don't have to go full mag on a 12 gauge. You can power it down and it won't be so bad. Anyway. So. And Renee, you could shoot a 44 Magnum. It's not that big of a deal. Trust me. But meanwhile, back at the ranch.
Got 4 minutes. Woohoo. What are you doing last 4 minutes? 4 minutes.
Well, crap.
3 minutes.
All right. 3 minutes. All right. Anyway, folks in the chat room, folks out there in Radio Land, sorry for missing the past couple of shows. Last show, couldn't get on because of technical difficulties. And just, you know, I've been, running like crazy. But think about what I tell you about gardening. And who knows, maybe one of these days we'll start a website where people can write in and ask questions or something. But or you can even call in, really. I should do that more often, is, you know, take a call once in a while.
But, there wasn't anybody calling in. So, okay.
As to the gardening and stuff, you know, stay with heirloom seeds. You won't go wrong. Okay? Stay away from these seed banks. They're a big ripoff. Now you buy, like, you know, half of the seeds are beans. I can go buy beans all day long in bulk. Big deal. Okay? If they're organic, they'll sprout. If they sprout, they'll grow. So, you know, rareseeds.com, Organica, and several others, you know, the potato, you know, the heirloom potatoes, you know, like the purple and all that, you know, I can, you know, hook up people with the address for that too. And, you know, just stay away from the big ripoff people that sell these survival seed banks. That's a scam. They sell you, you know... You know, if I wanted to be dishonest and be a scam artist, that's what I'd do. I'd sell you a bunch of pinto beans along with a few cucumber and celery. And it's like, man, give me a break, dude. But anyway, yeah, people, you know, do your own shopping around, okay? And see what's out there. Don't jump to the survival seed bank. You look at what they offer you, and it's navy beans, pinto beans. You know, beans coming out the wazoo. And you don't want to eat beans all the time. People won't want to be around you, for one thing. A little humor there. Ha 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 ha. But yeah, that 44 Magnum is a sweet little pistol. You know, you wouldn't do bad by it.
10 seconds, got to say goodbye.
Bye, goodbye,
everybody.
Folks.
Thanks
Happy
for coming.
Trails. Talk to y'all Thursday, 10:30 Pacific, 11:30 Mountain, 12:30 Central, 1:30 Eastern. And then, whatever. Yes.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
God bless y'all. And read Matthew, where Yeshua tells people to stand up for themselves. More or less. I'm paraphrasing.
Okay, we're done.
Well, I'm still waiting. Are we done?
Yeah. Hanging up. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye-bye.